the third chapter. As we begin to talk about the soul now, this class is going to be totally about the soul. We're going to dig into the mind, dig into the different aspects of the mind. And one of the things you must understand that in the Word of God, when it talks about heart, it's talking about the soul. All right? It's not talking about your spirit. Once again, your spirit is perfect. How we know it's perfect? Genesis 1:26. It said, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So because we're made after the image of God, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So being that we are spirit beings made after the image of God, for to say something's wrong with our spirit is to say something's wrong with God. Right? So when we're talking about the heart, it's not talking about your spirit, it's talking about your soul. And so we're going to break the soul down because that is the only place where the enemy can attack us and be successful, is the soul. He can't attack us anywhere else. He attacked the soul, he attacked the mind, he can control the body. All right? He can't have access to our spirit. He can try to disconnect our mind from our spirit to where our spirit don't have access to our thought process, and that's where sin comes in. We're about to read in Genesis, the third chapter. Watch this. This is the third chapter. Let's start at the first verse. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now here we see where Satan is letting us know his only trick. Let's make this what? This is the only trick. All right. He's going to reinvent this trick many different ways, but this is his only trick. His only trick is to tell you something opposite of what God says and get you to act on it. All right? That's his only trick. So we see that he came and told Eve and Adam exactly what they already know. God had already told them this. God had already informed them about this. It's not like God wasn't going to expose them to evil. He was going to expose them to evil when they were mature to handle it. The problem with man, a fallen man, is when they try to decipher right and wrong based on their own standards. That's why we have all the sin in the world. When man try to decide right from wrong based on their own standards. And you can never decide, man can't decide right or wrong on their own because you wasn't exposed to right and wrong on your own. All right. Is this making sense? That's why the word of God is necessary. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, we're going to read this scripture over and over, this passage over and over in this class. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind causes you not to be conformed, but to be transformed. Other words, there's no neutral in this. If you don't have the Word of God constantly meditating it, constantly reading it, constantly digesting it, then you're going to conform. You're going to take the shape. What I mean by conform, you're going to think like the world. When you start thinking like the world, you're going to behave like the world. There are some Christians that behave like the world, called carnal-minded Christians. They behave. Why? Because they don't take the Word of God to renew their mind. See, you're going to have to, this is something constant that you're going to have to do. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Take the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God. Because if you don't, you're going to conform. When you begin to think like the world, you're going to get world results. When you don't take the Word of God and you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, then you're going to begin to compromise. See, that's what's wrong with the church. The church sometimes compromises because they're not renewing their mind with the Word of God. So now what used to be sin ain't really sin no more. And the problem with that is the result from sin. So it goes back to the mind. If you don't renew your mind will begin to conform. Now, I'll give you an example. I know it's a very popular example. Homosexuality. Homosexuality has been around forever. It's been around since the beginning of the time. Matter of fact, the store with Noah and his sons, that was a homosexual store. Oh, yeah. One of his sons, I seen my daddy naked many times. When I was a baby, I seen him naked many times. I ain't, it wasn't no sin. So for Ham to go in there and they say was dishonored, that means he did something. So what I'm saying is it's been around for a long time. But only now has it trying to become mainstream. Why? Because people are walking away from the Word of God. So when you walk away from the Word of God, there's no mirror. When there's no mirror, you can't see dirt. We get up in the morning, we go to wash our face. All of us wash our face in front of a... Why? So you make sure you get all the crust out your eye, right? So when there's no mirror, so you don't know what you look like. If you don't know what you look like, it becomes normal. So the Word of God is a mirror that calls us to check ourselves, check our souls, check our mentality. Am I thinking right? Because if I don't, I'm going to conform. If I don't check my thoughts, if I don't check what I'm thinking, then I'm going to conform to what everybody else is thinking. Everybody else say they don't know how they're going to make it. I keep hanging around them. I'm going to start saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You're conforming. That's all Satan did to Adam and Eve, is to get them to conform. When God was trying to transform them. Right? So I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So my soul is the thing that gives my spirit expression in the natural. Without my soul, my spirit has no right to express itself in the natural. My soul, my mind, my intellect, my will, my emotion, my memory, gives my intelligence, intellect, gives my spirit a chance to be expressed in the natural. So my soul is important. God has a mind. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expectation. I hope you listen to me, internet. Come, let us reason together. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnal really means flesh, but really what this scripture is saying, for to be flesh driven. What it means to be flesh driven, it simply means this: let outside influences dictate how I think. So therefore, the forces of thought are coming from the outside in. That's what it means to be carnally minded. So the Bible says for to be carnally minded is what? It's death or separation from God. So if I let the outside, that's referring to the flesh, not talking about your skin, not talking about your actual body, it's talking about outside. If I let outside influences control how I think, then I'm going to eventually be separated from God. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. Outside influence telling them how to think. Outside influence, go back to Genesis. Outside influences telling them how to feel. Genesis, watch this. Go back to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. Let's see. Verse 7. Now, let me set this up. Now, this is, of course, you know, it's Adam and Eve. Satan had just talked them into disobeying God. Right? Just got them to disobeying God. So now he get them to disobey God. But now when they disobey God, now they gave him the right to begin to control their thought process. All right, watch this. Because God asked a very good question. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. And they, what? Knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Wait a minute. Weren't they naked before? So what changed? Their mindset. So watch this. Outside influences not only told him how to think, but told him how to feel. Because now when you relinquish, watch this. When you let the outside world, carnally minded, begin to dictate how you think, you give them the right to tell you you give the outside world the right to tell how all the aspects of your mind to work. You give them a right to tell how you feel, emotions. You give them the right to tell what memories going to affect you. you watch this. You give them the right to tell you what is intelligence and what is not. That's how people get tricked. That's how people get in cults. That's how people get caught up in some foolishness because they thought this was the smart thing to do. So here it is. They knew they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God knew already knew where he was. But he wanted to make him responsible. Where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, God said, who told thee that thou was naked? Because I never told you that. Right. Not only I never told you that, but I never told you how to feel. Because right. Obviously I knew you was already naked. And God never put any guilt or shame on you. So that means that outside forces done told you some other information and then dictated how you feel. Because nakedness was not defined. You let the outside world define it for you. You see, by conforming. Not tramp, but conforming. That's why you have to, the word of God has to be the baseline. It has to be the foundation. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. Apostle Paul is writing. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down what? And every high thing that does what? Against what? The knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So other words, every thought has to be compared to something. If I don't hide the word of God in my heart, there's nothing for it. Notice what I said, hide it at. So what that mean? Soul. I'm hiding it in my mind. Where your thoughts at? In your mind. So. Wherever your thoughts are, wherever, watch this, wherever the outside carnal system is accessing, that's where the word of God has to access. So the carnal outside world is accessing your thoughts, your mind. Then the word of God has to access your thoughts and your mind. That's where the battle takes place at. In your mind. That's why you're not fighting on the outside. It's on the inside with the word of God. When you got a problem with somebody, that ain't where your battle at. It's on the inside. You go to the inside, you're handling anybody else on the outside. Luke 21:19. It says what? In your patience, possess ye your soul. In your patience, possess ye your soul. This is it's written in red, right? It's written in red? My Bible's written in red. Who said that? Jesus. Jesus is telling us to possess our souls. Control your soul. In other words, you dictate what comes in and what goes out. Don't let nobody else dictate that for you. You dictate it. So you got possession of your soul, and I choose to govern my soul with the word of God. I choose to govern my soul, my thoughts, my memories, my intelligence, my intellect, my emotions, my will. I choose to govern it with the word of God. But you can't govern it with the word of God if you don't spend time with the word of God. Is this making sense? Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 3, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the what? Minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan's objective is to keep our minds blind. He was trying to keep your mind blind when you was a sinner. It ain't changed. If you're a Christian, he's still trying to keep your mind blind. He's trying to keep you ignorant. Yes, what you don't know will hurt you. Don't believe that when they tell you what you don't know won't hurt you. That's a lie. What you don't know will hurt you. Go to Matthew 16, 26. Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Soul is important, isn't it? Yes, sir. Go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrew the 4th, I said Hebrew the 4, right? Hebrew 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Oh, watch this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the soul. So watch this. According to the scripture, we learn two things. One, that your mind, or watch this, that your soul and your spirit are so closely related that the only thing it's separated to is the word of God. So now you got to take the word of God to realize, is this a soul originated thought? When I believe God is talking to me, is this originate out of my soul, or did it originate out of my spirit? And only, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to John 10. The only way you're going to be able to decipher whether this is a soul originated thought or a spirit originated thought is you're going to have to be able to do this in John 10. It's the only way you're going to, only way you're going to know. John 10, verse 27. Jesus talking. Verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. My followers hear my voice. My disciples hear my voice. Those that follow my discipline, those that follow my teachings, those that read the word of God, those that meditate the word of God will be able to hear the voice of God. Because hearing the voice of God is more about recognition than it is about hearing. Because you're going to hear a lot. But the question is, can you recognize? You can't recognize until you get familiar with. When you get familiar with the word of God, you get familiar with who God is. That's when you can recognize when God is moving. So therefore, when the word of God comes as a two-edged sword, then you what it means the word of God is a two-edged sword. That's the word of God that's hidden my heart. Is a two-edged sword to say, is this a God idea or this a me idea? Because your soul and your spirit are so closely related, you'll come up with a good idea and think it's God. But the only way you're going to know if it's you or God is if you have the word of God hidden in your heart and you know the voice of God. The voice of God is about being familiar with who he is, not about decibels. So the more time I spend with God, the more time I spend with his word, the better I'm equipped to hear his voice. That's what the double-edged sword is. God is able to separate the soul from the spirit. Okay, God, I believe you're telling me to do this. I think I heard you. Is this me or this God? What the word of God in you gonna be able to decipher that? Because if it's God, you'll recognize it. Because remember, now go watch this, Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may be able to what? Prove or recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That goes right back to Hebrews 4 and 12. The word of God is sharp, powerful, and a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the soul. So that's why the word of God has to be the foundation. If the word of God is not the foundation, you're going to drift off. Example. The only reason why the Ten Commandments exist, only reason why Moses went on the mountain and got those Ten Commandments, is because the children of Israel didn't know right from wrong. They're just doing whatever they wanted. And they kept getting in trouble. God say, now I got to give them something that they can focus on to let them know that they're in sin. Something they can use to renew their mind. Now, of course, they couldn't live by it because they couldn't fulfill all the laws because they wasn't born again. Jesus had to come die for them on the cross and die for us on the cross so all the laws be fulfilled. But still, if the law had not existed, we would not recognize wrong. Are you seeing this? So the word of God, that's an example of, that was a precursor of the word of God. The word of God is the final authority, should be the final authority in your life, by which you compare all thoughts, by which you compare all feelings, by which you compare all memories, by which you compare intelligence. Is this making sense? Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Being able to control your soul allows you to never be stopped in the supernatural. When you control your soul and you submit your soul to what God wants, the supernatural will always be displayed in your life because everything is aligned. Let me redefine the word understand for you. The word understand, it's a compound word. Some of y'all think it means clarity. That's what some of you think. You have figured something out. What do you think understand means? You think it's clarity. It's not really what, that's the result of understand. Look at the word, break the word down. Understand. It's two words that come together. Understand. That means you stand under. So watch this. Some people say, man, I don't understand trigonometry. Well, you don't understand it because you don't want to stand under. Let's use another word. Yield. When you yield, you yield, that means you are submitting. You are taking a step back and saying, when you stop at a yield sign, I'm going to let this person go. So when it says to understand, it means you want to take your thoughts and make them yield. So watch this. That's why I was telling my daughters the day. My daughter say, I don't understand this. I say, no, you can understand it. You're just choosing not to. Because if you stop for a moment, stop letting your mind run, First of all, I'm telling you that you can't do this. You take your thoughts and submit it to these thoughts. You understand. You yield your thoughts to these thoughts. Then you'll be able to, get clarity. Are you seeing this? See, there's no such thing as you can't understand nothing. It's just you choosing not to yield your thoughts. You're just choosing not to. Now, some things you shouldn't understand. Homosexuality, I don't understand. I'm not yielding my thoughts to that. God says wrong, it's wrong. I ain't about to yield and talk about, I understand where you at. No, I understand where you at. I'm not yielding my thoughts to that. Why? Because I got the word of God telling me it's wrong. So I'm not about to understand nothing. Are you getting this? But when you take your thoughts and yield them to the word of God, there's nothing you can't grasp in the spirit. When you take your thoughts and yield it to the word of God, there's nothing you can't access in the supernatural. When you take your thoughts and yield it to the word of God, there's no healing you can't manifest in your body. When you take your thoughts and yield them to the word of God, there's no desire that you can't fulfill. But you have to take the thoughts and yield them to God, yield them to his word. That means you have to take those thoughts. If the doctor gives you a bad report, you got to take that thought and make it submit. How you make that thought submit? By saying the exact opposite. Say what the word of God says. And say it enough until you believe it. Believing is not complicated. You know what believing is? Believing is just you're convinced. Go to Mark 9. Watch this. See, that's why the mind is so important. For so long, Christians have left the mind out the process. But the mind should not be left out of your faith walk. Christ said, let this mind be in you. Now, this is Jesus talking, Mark 9:23. He said, if thou canst what? Believe. If you can believe. That means it's conditional. Then all things are possible to him that believes. If thou can be convinced, then all things are possible to him that is convinced. That's what the scripture is saying. Where are you convinced at? Not your spirit. Because your spirit already knows what you're capable of. You got to be convinced in your heart, in your mind. So the way you convince yourself is you have to take information of what you want to happen and bombard it with your mind until you're convinced. Are you seeing this? Now, does it end there? No. When you're convinced, now God can give you the instructions on how to bring it to pass. No, God ain't going to give you instructions if you're not convinced. Why he ain't give you instructions if you're not convinced? You ain't going to do them. Because you don't have no confidence, no faith. That's what I'm saying. You have no faith. You're not convinced. You don't believe. So if you don't believe, you know, you're not going to do something you don't believe. You're not going to. If y'all didn't believe these chairs were going to hold y'all, none of y'all to sit down. But you believe that the chair was going to hold you. So you sat down. Is that making sense? So you're not going to do nothing you're not convinced of. You're not going to achieve nothing that you're not convinced of. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou hast prosper and be in health. That's just saying is your soul is convinced, so your outside going to be. You know, if you don't think certain things can happen to you, guess what? It's not. Even though God wants them to happen to you, it's not. Why? Because you're not convinced. And if you're not convinced, God automatically, the supernatural figure, you don't want it to happen. So guess what? Supernatural say, I ain't gonna, you don't want it. Because you're not convinced. Is that making sense? Go back to 1 Thessalonians. We're gonna close here. 1 Thessalonians 5, I told you. Abstain from all, verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is spirit, soul, and body. They're separated. So the soul is important. I pray that your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless. Now, your spirit is already blameless. Because just like God. But it's up to you. It's up to you to preserve your soul. I didn't say save your soul. I said preserve your soul. See, once, watch this. Jesus on the cross got you your soul back. Once Jesus gives you your soul back, now it's up to you to protect your soul. And how do you protect your soul? With the word of God. All right, let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 3rd chapter. Adam and Eve didn't protect their soul. Why didn't they protect their soul? Because they let other information come to tell them something other than what God was telling them. So they didn't preserve their soul. See, up. Jesus saves your soul, something that you couldn't do. You couldn't get your soul back. Jesus went and got your soul back. Now you can think like God. Now you can behave like God. Now you can think like God. But it's up to you to preserve it. Are y'all getting this? It's sinking in. See, as Christians, we have to own up to our dominion. We can't shy away from our dominion. And watch this. The dominion that's talking about in Genesis, the first chapter, 26, and what's not, that dominion, notice it didn't say dominion over others. It didn't say dominion over other people. It never mentioned dominion over other people. Your dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Matter of fact, God was really telling Adam and Eve, I know Satan is coming. You have dominion over him. What that means to have dominion over him? I control my own thoughts. When I control my own thoughts, no outside force can come in and cause me to think no other way because I'm hearing your word. I'm meditating your word. He said, "You got, and everything that creepeth upon earth." God was telling him, you have dominion already over Satan. He coming. But you have dominion over already. How you have dominion already? Because you have the power to preserve your mind. You have the power to cast down every imagination, as every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when watch this, when Satan said, oh, you ain't going to die. Wait a minute, Satan. God say, I am. So one of y'all lying. I believe I'm going to go with who created me. Because the creator always know how the creation is supposed to work. Is this making sense? So that's why the Thessalonian writer said, I pray that you preserve, that your whole spirit, soul, your spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Preserved means being sheltered away from something, being protected. You know, you can preserve. What you're doing, you're protecting it from decay. You're preserving figs. You're taking all the algae, you put them in a container, and you're preserving them so they can be used for a later date. Is it making sense? So our soul for so long has been ignored, but that's the very thing we need to be paying attention to. Because Satan can't attack your spirit. And he really can't mess with your flesh. He can only come through your soul to access your flesh. How many saying this? Next week, I want you to read chapter 2. I want you to get ahead and read it. Because as we start talking about the soul and different things of that nature, I want you to already have in your mind some of the jargons and lingo that we're going to use so that when the Holy Spirit begin to take us, and we're going to really be digging into some things with the soul. We're going to start dealing with how faith in the soul works, how they work, you know, how the soul and grace works, different things of that nature. How a lot of times God is going to sometimes ask you how you want things done. Adam, you name the animals. And so if your mind not properly prepared, you're going to be asking for some off-the-wall stuff. Is that making sense? I'll see y'all next week.